countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. It is mentioned in a summary of a hadith that our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, he who recites 50 darood or salawat or salutations upon me every day, I will shake hands with him on the day of Qiyamah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam salatun wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah. Alhamdulillah, I would like to welcome the listeners and the viewers of Madani channel once again to this beautiful episode of The Life of the Chosen One. Alhamdulillah, this far we have discussed the beautiful life and seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We have spoken about his childhood, we have spoken about the migration from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, the times and the challenges our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had faced. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, today as well we are going to discuss very important information. And we ask you to not leave, inshallah, but rather make good and beautiful intentions before you watch this episode, inshallah. And as it is mentioned by our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ, that the intention of a believer is better than his actions, inshallah. Therefore, I ask you to make good intentions. Number one, inshallah, I am going to seek this knowledge for the pleasure of Allah and Allah's beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. I will listen to this episode from beginning to end, and whatever good I will hear, whatever good I will learn, I will pass it to others, inshallah. Therefore, today we are going to start, inshallah, this beautiful episode by discussing the muhabba, the love, the relationship between the muhajireen and ansar, the ties, the relationship that they had between them. Therefore, inshallah, I'm going to ask Hazrat to please kindly give us some beautiful information about the relationship that was between the Muhajireen and the Ansar once the Muhajireen migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. How did the Ansar treat the Muhajireen that came after Rasulullah and with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam?
Alhamdulillah azza wa jal. Indeed, the relationship, the muhabbah, the understanding and love between the Muhajireen and the Ansar was amazing. And in fact, one reason why we are discussing this, the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this relationship of the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, is that we as Muslims, we must learn from this and practice, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Understand something. The Muhajireen, those who migrated from Makkah Sharif to Madinatul Munawwara, they left everything behind. Allah. Imagine, all their possessions, family members, their businesses, their trades, their houses, their belongings, everything they left behind as sacrifice in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, for Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for the upliftment of Islam, for the protection of the Iman as well. So they were separated from their family members. This caused a lot of sorrow in them, a lot of grief, a lot of worry that we still have family there, and the Makkans, the Kuffar, the disbelievers, they were still persecuting and torturing. The Muhajireen, they were in this desperate condition when they came to Madina Sharif, that they left everything behind. Now they're coming to this place. What do they have? They don't have any possessions. They don't really have any family, most of them. The Ansar themselves, those who were the natives of Madinatul Munawwarah, Zadahullah Sharafa wa Ta'zeema, they tried their best to accommodate the Muhajireen, to look after them. Allah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. And here, there's very great lessons for us of hospitality. We learn this practically from the relationship of the Ansar, from the Muhajireen, as trained by Aqwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. as trained by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And see, the Muhajireen, they were, many of them were business people.
Allah.
They had this tradition that their families had businesses. So they're coming here now, and now they feel like, we want to do something more. We don't want to be dependent on other people. We want to earn our own livelihood and aid ourselves. For this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam planned to establish a brotherhood between the Ansar and the Muhajireen. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Ansar and Muhajireen in the house of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the personal servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. Imagine, 10 years he was a personal servant of Aqwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in his house, Aqwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Ansar and Muhajireen. After this happened after the construction of Masjid al-Nabawi. And the Muhajireen, they were 35 or 50 in number at that time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Ansar and told them, these Muhajireen, they are your brothers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then proceeded to call one Ansari and one Muhajir. One Ansari and one Muhajir at a time. And said to both of them, he called one Ansari, one Muhajir, and he said, indeed, you both are brothers to one another. And after this, the bond between these two groups became stronger than that of brothers even. Subhanallah. Amazing. The Ansar, they took the Muhajireen to their homes and placed every item in their household. All their items and their possessions, they brought it and they said, you are certainly our brothers, addressing the Muhajireen. You are certainly our brothers, and own half of whatever we own.
Allah.
Imagine, look at the self-sacrifice. Practically, Islam is demonstrating it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching it. That the Muhajireen, they sacrificed everything and came here. Now Ansar, you are there to assist them. You are the Ansar, you are the helpers. This is what Ansar means. So the Ansar, they brought the Muhajirs in their house, and they said, whatever we have in this house, half of it belongs to you, and half of it belongs to me. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. The Muhajir, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, famous Sahabi. He was made the brother of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Rabi' Ansari radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah. And like this, other Sahabi Kiram, they also had the relationship with each other in this way. This was the bond of brotherhood between the Ansar and Muhajireen, created by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Ansar can only be praised for their self-sacrifice as well. That the Muhajireen sacrificed by coming here, and the Ansar sacrificed by sharing whatever they had in half with the Muhajireen brothers, subhanallah. Hearing the offer of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Rabi' of whatever was possessed over there, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu replied, may Allah grant you barakah and blessings in your family and your belongings. I don't wish to have any part of it. Imagine, the Ansari, they are offering. And this Muhajir, Sahabi radiallahu anhu, saying, I don't want any part of it. Allah will bless you. But my only request is that you show me where the marketplace is.
Allah.
Subhanallah. He was pointed in the direction of Qaniqa, where he purchased some ghee and cheese for his business, for trade. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he regularly went to the marketplace to sell these items. And in this manner, he became a wealthy businessman and married later. Subhanallah. After arriving in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform him of his marriage, he was asked, what was the amount of mahar that you paid? He replied, it was gold. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, Allah azza wa jal grant you barakah, grant you blessings. You should hold a walima, even if it is with one goat. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua for blessings made Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu the most successful businessman in Medina Sharif. To such an extent that he would even say, if sand touches me, it will become gold. Subhanallah. This is how successful businessman he was. Subhanallah. It has further been reported that when his stock for business would come, the entire city would become overjoyed and excited. So much of stock used to come. Like Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, other Muhajireen as well, they opened up businesses in Medina Sharif. such as Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who opened up a fabric shop. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he sold dates in the market of Qaniqa. A business was also opened by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Though the Ansar, they were ever ready to support the Muhajireen, they were also in no need for a long period of time, and they strive to support themselves, being successful in this regard, subhanAllah. A famous Islamic historian, Allama bin Abdul Barr radiallahu anhu, said, this tie of brotherhood was unique between the Ansar and the Muhajireen. Yet another bond existed between or within the Muhajireen themselves, made by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was made the brother of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu, the brother of Sayyidina Zubayr radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was made the brother of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. Mawla Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajahul kareem came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have made brothers amongst the Muhajireen, but you have not included me. Who do you wish to unite me in brotherhood? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked. Anta akhi fi dunya wal akhirah, came the reply of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are my brother in this world and in the hereafter. Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, subhanallah. Now, besides the Ansar, who were the natives of Medina Sharif, Medina Sharif had a population of Jews as well. In fact, three Jewish tribes also stayed in Medina Sharif: the Banu Qaniqa, Banu Nadir, and Banu Qurayza. They all lived in the outskirts of the city of Medina Sharif, and they were well guarded in strong forts, these Jews, Yahudis. There had been many arguments and confrontations between these tribes and the Ansar, even before the Hijrah, before the migration of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were still some problems existing after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Sharif. The two tribes of the Ansar, Aus and Khazraj, they were further severely weakened after losing their strong and courageous leaders in the famous or infamous war of Bi'ath amongst themselves. And they were always wished upon by the Jews to be arguing. The Jews, they wanted them to keep arguing, and this would weaken them further, preventing any unity amongst the tribes of the Ansar. As a result, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an agreement to allow both parties to lead a successful and peaceful existence without any problems. And the Jews and the Ansar, they were therefore gathered by him to reach a settlement with some of the agreements as follows. What was the agreements? That the paying of fidya, money in exchange for a person to be released, and the paying of money in compensation for a murderer shall still be applicable. The Jews shall have religious freedom with no interference in their religious practices. In the event of war taking place against any of the two parties, it is necessary for the other one to assist the one who is being attacked. In the event of Medina being attacked, it will be protected by both Jews and Muslims. No party shall assist the Quraysh or its supporters. A truce made after war by any party with their enemy is a truce binding on the other as well. This applies to only political wars and not religious ones. So here we can see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming to Medina Sharif and sorting out all the political problems, all these difficulties, creating the brotherhood between the Ansar and the Muhajireen, and within the Muhajireen themselves, between the Ansar and the Jews. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put down a treaty to keep the peace, and we can work together so that Medina Sharif is protected and we lead peaceful lives. We as well, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, we must implement these things in our lives. How many people at home, the mother and the father, are in dispute and quarreling? How many people, their children are rebellious and disobedient and fighting with their parents, even physically, verbally, psychologically harming them? Brothers and sisters, don't get along. Here, we are talking about strangers coming from one place to another, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making them brothers. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla, our deen teaches us this. inshallah, if we implement in our life, we will see positive results, inshallah azza wa jal. Huzoor, tell me, what happens thereafter? The dua made for Medina Sharif. If you enlighten us, I'm sure our viewers will be very pleased, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, we had seen the unity that our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam had made between the Muhajireen and Ansar, alhamdulillah, to make everyone comfortable. But now, yet the Muhajireen were secured after the beautiful advice and the rules and regulations that our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam had made for those Muhajireen, for those brothers that had migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah. But this is a very astonishing thing, and I would say for people to understand and learn, it's not easy for one to leave his town, to leave his city, to leave his home. Now to, when people migrate, when people leave their countries, they leave their homes for whatever problem, no matter how beautiful the place may be, or no matter how good the place may be, but you will definitely miss your motherland, the place where you grew, the place where you have thousands of memories attached to. And this is the exact same thing that happened. Allahu Akbar. The Muhajirin began to fall ill after arriving in Madinatul Munawwara due to different climate changes and it being conductive to sickness. It became a sickness to them. They fell ill. They got bimar. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu were so sick that their bodies would tremble from it. They developed so much of sickness, Allahu Akbar. And while in this condition, they would recall the greenery of Makkah al-Mukarramah and its mountains and recite poetry in its praise. And there are many, many other ahadith that they would recite poetry in the praise of that Fala mountain, that certain tree, that certain valley. Because they were missing, they became homesick, thinking of Makkah al-Mukarramah, Allahu Akbar. And looking at this, our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam supplicated in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the words of Bukhari Sharif. This hadith is narrated in Bukhari Sharif that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam made dua by saying, O Allah Azza wa Jal, make Madinatul Munawwara as beloved to us as Makkah is. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Or rather, make it even more beloved in comparison to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Free its climate of sickness and grant barakah in its trade and expel the sickness of it to the area of Juhfa. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for the sickness to leave from Madinatul Munawwara and for Madina to become even more beloved in comparison to Makkatul Mukarramah. And this is where you get your cure from. And look at it, Allahu Akbar. Khaki Shifa is in Madinatul Munawwara. And the solution to every single problem is Madinatul Munawwara. Look at the people that go to Makkatul Mukarramah, or they go for Hajj, or they go for Umrah. Everyone's heart, their mind, their eyes, their bodies is attached to Madinatul Munawwara. Allahu Akbar. That is why Amir Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Qadri Attar Radhavi, Damat Barakatuhum Al Aliyah, he says very beautifully, Madina is liye attar jano dil se hai pyara pyara. Madina is liye attar jano dil se hai pyara ke rehte hain. Mere aqa, mere dilbar, Madine mein ke rehte hain. Mere aqa, mere dilbar, Madine mein. So, Madina in reality became beloved because our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam resides in Madinatul Munawwara. He lives in Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah. So this is one aspect that we discussed. And this is the words of Bukhari Sharif that, O Allah Azza wa Jal, make Madinatul Munawwara more beloved than Makkatul Mukarramah. Subhanallah. Even more beloved than Makkatul Mukarramah. Subhanallah. And that is why every Ashik's heart, every Ashik's mind is attached to Madinatul Munawwara. So this is one aspect. And then a very great incident took place in Islam, which was the acceptance of Hazrat Salman Farsi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. MashaAllah. An important event during the first hijrah, when Rasulullah ﷺ migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, and he, Salman Farsi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, was an individual from Persia, Iran, whose forefathers were magicians or fire worshippers, as well as the entire population of Persia. They used to worship fire and they used to worship idols, magians. Who was a magian or a fire worshipper, as well as the entire population of Persia. After leaving his home in search for the true religion, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was unfortunately captured by robbers and made into a slave. Allahu Akbar. Continuously shifting through ownership until finally he reached Madinatul Munawwara. Somebody bought him here, then somebody sold him there, and then somebody bought him there. From one ownership to the other ownership, continuously he was sold and bought, until he reached Madinatul Munawwara. Allahu Akbar. He was also a Christian, well versed in the Torah and Injil, and maintained a close relationship with Jews. He once entered the court of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and offered dates as sadaqah. Now this is where the life of Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu changed. Number one is that he entered Madinatul Munawwara. Aur jo Madine mein aa gaya to uska beera paar hai. His life will change, his condition will change, depending on the nazar of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as he presented himself in the court of Rasulullah with some dates. And he mentioned, this is as sadaqah, Allahu Akbar, to which our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied very beautifully, take this away from me and distribute it amongst the poor of Madinatul Munawwara. I don't accept sadaqah. I don't accept sadaqah. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu then presented to him the following day a basket of dates as a gift, subhanallah, which Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam distributed amongst the sahaba to eat and also partook in it. Rasulullah sallallahu also ate from that. And this time Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu also saw the seal of prophethood between the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was fortunate. He was nasibdar that he seen this prophethood seal between the shoulders of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and immediately, without any delay, he embraced Islam, knowing that these were all the signs of the final messenger found in Injil and Torah. Subhanallah. Because he was a master in that. He was educated. He had the knowledge of Torah and Injil. And he was a scholar. And then being a scholar of Torah and Injil, he knew that these are the signs of a prophet, that he will have a prophethood seal between his shoulders. And as he seen the seal, immediately he embraced Islam by saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. So that is one aspect. Right, first we discussed Madinatul Munawwara, and then the acceptance of the Salman Farsi coming to the folds of Islam. And now remember, until now all Fard Salah consisted of two rakat, Zuhur, Asr and Isha. Wherever there was four rakat, it was not four. Till now it was only two rakat. And it was during the first hijrah, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu made hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara, that the number of rakats of Zuhur, Asr and Isha were increased to four. For those that are non-travelers. But for those that are musafir, for those that are travelers, it remained as two, which was known as Qasr Salah. That if you are a musafir, you will read two rakats of namaz, Qasr Salah. And if you are not a musafir, then you will read four rakats. So basically, the Zuhr, Asr and Isha then became four. From two, it became four. This was in the first hijrah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As well as the demise of three loyal personalities of Islam. They passed away. It caused a big grief and loss to Islam, as it was the first year of Hijrah. First year of Hijrah saw the demise of three expansional individuals who were forever prepared to sacrifice their life for Islam. They were ever ready to give their life for our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The first person was, and today inshallah we are going to discuss, we are going to mention their names inshallah, who were those janissars that could sacrifice their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Number one was a very great sahabi, Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. His name was Hazrat Kulthum bin Hadam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He had been fortunate enough to have the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam stay in his home in Quba. He was that fortunate that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stayed in his home while migrating to Madinatul Munawwara, and was further host to the Muhajireen as well. The Muhajireen that left Makkatul Mukarramah also stayed by him. Hazrat Khaltum bin Hadam radiyallahu anhu was without doubt the perfect host to the most exalted of all creation, Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. His hospitality, the way he presented himself, the way he served our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, was a great honor, subhanallah. And now he demised from the dunya, he made parda from the dunya. And then it was Hazrat As'ad bin Zararah Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was present in both the bayats of Aqaba and was also responsible for spreading Islam in Madinatul Munawwara. He was present in both the bayats, and as well as he was responsible for spreading Islam, giving da'wah to the people in Madinatul Munawwara. He supported our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in every aspect possible. So this is the best example that we should follow the Sahaba ikram. They made day and night one, but they never left the mission of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They showed so much of enthusiasm, so much of jazba, so much of love to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. They supported the mission of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And now he as well left this dunya. He also made parada from this dunya. And then was Hazrat Bara bin Ma'rur Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Bara bin Ma'rur Ansari radiyallahu anhu was the first person to pledge allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in the second bay'at of Aqaba, and belonged to the tribe of Khazraj. Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. It's amazing that, you know, nowadays, in the family especially, when the new year comes and the first child was born, everybody is very excited, like this is the first child of this new year. So, without comparison, the first child that was born amongst the Muhajireen, when they migrated, when they first migrated to Medina Sharif, the first child born was Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was born during this first year of the Hijrah. Because as you know, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, our Islamic calendar starts from this Hijrah, from this migration. Our Islamic calendar starts. We follow the lunar months, that is, regarding the moon. His mother was none other than Sayyida Aswa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And who was she? She was the daughter of the first Khalifa of Islam, the first successor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah. After his birth, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu anhu was immediately taken to the bargah, to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aqwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chewed a piece of date, khajur, and placed it into his mouth. Allah. Imagine, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chewed a piece of khajur date and placed it into the mouth of this infant, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubayr radiyallahu anhu. And therefore, the first thing that entered the Sahabi's stomach was the blessed saliva of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This little child. The first thing which entered his stomach was the blessed saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his birth was also a cause of much joy and happiness, especially amongst the Muhajireen. As previous to this, the Jews had said, we have placed a certain magic on the Muhajireen that they will be prevented from giving birth to any children. As reported in Zarqani, the Jews had taunted and said this, we placed some magic, some jadu, that the Muhajireen, they won't give birth to any children. So imagine them, when this child was born, the first child of the Muhajireen, how much more happy they were. And how much more happy they was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chewed a piece of date and put it into that Sahabi's mouth. Subhanallah. So the first thing which reached his stomach was the blessed saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, indeed, we are the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, being a servant and a slave, we must follow, we must obey what our Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us to do, what our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered us to do. This brotherhood of Islam was from the very beginning. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created this brotherhood, that if one part of your body feels the pain, then the whole body feels the pain. If one Muslim is in trouble, then it is as if the whole ummah is in trouble. That we must look after that person. We must accommodate that person. Are we doing this? This is a question we must ask ourselves. One of the questions we must ask ourselves: if my family is in trouble, is in problems, and I'm able to help, and if I'm not helping, then what is my responsibility? What are the consequences for this? Tomorrow, if I am in need of help and nobody comes to help me, how will I feel? We must assist others. Because remember, in a narration it is mentioned that a Muslim is that person who loves for his fellow Muslim what he loves for himself. If I love good food, if I love good clothing, I must love the same. If I want Jannah, I must want the same for my fellow Muslim. Starting with my family, starting with my children, with my spouse, with my parents. Am I doing this? Am I fulfilling this responsibility and duty as a Muslim, as the shepherd of my flock, of my family? I will be accountable for this. Each person is going to be accountable on the Day of Judgment for his flock, which is his family. If you don't look after your family, the wolf shaitan will snatch the iman away. The wolf shaitan and all his people who work for him, they will take them away from the deen and towards the path of Jahannam. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us and our families, save the ummah from the tricks of shaitan, and keep us in his obedience and the obedience of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, we are hoping that you have gained some knowledge. I know we have gained some knowledge from this as well, alhamdulillah. But now it is a time to practice. Practice for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And please do join us next time on this wonderful episode and silsila, The Life of the Chosen One. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.